Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Self is Necessary. Thank you for joining us today. I am Mary Kay Weinhagen, and I'm here with Delray Jane Bentz of the Life Learning Center of Self. You're there, right, Delray?
I am here. Good afternoon, Mary Kay. How are you today?
I am good. I am delighted you're here. I want to share with our listeners that they can connect with you through your blog, goldenwordsofself.com. Delray is really, really good at taking you on a journey to yourself. And she's a teacher that works with many students and has many clients that she's working with. Those of us who really are interested in getting to the truth and walking, you know, at least in the direction of the joy that is our birthright here on planet Earth. And so, you know, you really want to hop over to her blog at goldenwordsofself.com and read some of the current blog posts as well as dig into the archives. And if you have any questions or comments, Delray would welcome the comments. Also, there's contact information there, and you can set up an appointment and talk with her. And you can come and play with us over at facebook.com/Life Learning Center of Self as well. And as you may gather from the title of our program here at Blog Talk Radio, Self is Necessary, and that really is the focus of what Delray brings us to, is that a deeper, truer understanding of just how necessary self is. It sounds absurd on the surface. Of course, self is necessary. But, you know, we are so dismissive of that, and we are so trained to put ourselves at the end of the line, and that, in fact, is what we wanted to talk about today, is the stories that we spin and tell about ourselves and our life, and how those stories, being out of the truth, don't really give us the wisest course of action to take next. They don't, you know, we might have, like me, the best of intentions to be on a spiritual journey and make wise choices. But if I keep making those choices out of a story that's not in the truth to begin with, I keep repeating the same old, whether it's my story about, and when I say my, I mean just universally, whether it's our stories about poverty, our stories about health, our stories about relationship, our stories about how smart or not smart we are, you know, all those things are a story that we've spun that's creating the life we're having, and it's coloring and influencing the next choice we make or refuse to make. The thing that would be the perfect thing for us might just, we gloss right over it. Would you say that's accurate, Delray?
I say that exactly. You know, one of the things I think...
You're really soft. I don't know if it's a...
I am sorry, you know...
Thank you,
better. Might be.
Well, that's way better, whatever you
new
get.
New equipment. Yeah, I swallowed the microphone. That's what I did. Yeah, the hardest part about all of this, you know, is the fact that we do really have ourselves embroiled in what our story is. And so to get to the real truth, we have to ask questions. And you've heard me say you have to be in this evaluation process. But it's more than just asking one or two questions, because your first couple of questions are only going to deal with surface conversation that you have with anyone. It's the questions that when you ask yourself a fourth or a fifth question that starts getting you to the real feeling about what you have, a belief about the scenario that you're trying to stand up for or learn about or express yourself. And with one of my students this morning, I was talking about how she's been given some what a lot of people would call horrific news. I mean, she's been told that there is no place for her to go through her chemotherapy, and her body is rejecting everything. And so within the next 6 to 12 months, they will be simply, you know, working and trying to keep her as comfortable as possible. when she came to me and we started talking about, you know, I asked her, so you've come full circle now, and you're a totally and completely different woman today. So are you going to walk this with the concept that you can be totally and completely enlightened and be walking through the ascension process without leaving the planet? And she told me that that was her greatest fear, is that she would walk this and then come to that place and go, oh, it's just as easy to leave as it is to stay. Now, I'd like everyone to know each and every one of us goes through that. We don't have to have illness to do that. We each and every one of us are on the cross because of stories we've told, because of beliefs and opinions that we have about ourselves, that we have to give up all of the earthly concepts and ideals that we've had up to this point. That's walking through the death experience. That, to me, is what is called near death. Not this, I died, saw the light, and came back. You didn't die. You didn't die, or you wouldn't be here. Your soul leaves the body. You might have traveled.
Yep.
But you didn't die. This is a conscious choice of looking at the concept, I can go to the fifth dimension. It's easier in the fifth dimension because I can create and feel joy at any given time than it is to be here. But I choose now to come back and walk in that space of I'm accountable. And that's where this magnificent woman is going to.
Sure.
I'm overjoyed because I am not the same person that I was 10 years ago, and I have fully moved over, and she can take my spot. I am totally ready to give it up. But I want to keep here that to get to know yourself, to really become a part of the event of your style of life, you have to find for yourself those hidden pieces that you've got so stored away.
Right.
That even the contrast of people around you aren't triggering you to bring forth the truth.
Right, because wouldn't you say that the truth is always being shown, whether, I mean, you know, it's that whole out of the mouths of babes. Sometimes it could be something a child just says. Sometimes it could be a phrase in a song. It could be, for heaven's sake, it could be a billboard. That really gives you a thought that really isn't truth, but we just dismiss it. We just hold on to our storyline. Even though that thing
really
just crossed our path.
We have to look at the ways of how our thought process goes. And, you know, again, that's why I say if you can talk out loud to other people, you have to trust them, of course, because you've got to get yourself down to that place where your soul is bared open. And that's going to create an emotion from you. But that's a good thing. Those tears are a good thing. That feeling of, oh, my God, I'm so humiliated that I made this choice. How could I make this choice that so hurt me and hurt the people that I was interacting with? And that's hard to look at because we've made those people be our enemies.
Right.
And yet we come to a place where we have to look at, you made a choice to stay there. You made a choice to interact with those people. There was a moment in your life when your heart told you, turn around, go the other direction. And for whatever reason, you told yourself, no, I can do this because I'm worried about that person. So that's where you got to start. You got to start in that place where you made a choice to do something that was for someone else's happiness. And that's really where this begins for each and every one of us. We were pushed over our boundary, and we told ourselves we were doing it for us.
Right. You say something really interesting in a blog post that came out this week that, you know, I knew it, but rereading it again because, you know, I have a broader understanding today. But
yes.
you said when looking at ourselves and trying to get down past those surface questions and trying to get to those parts that we have hidden away from ourselves, you made the statement that most people around you do know these things about you. They do because even though they know your stories, they're not attached to them as you are.
Correct.
That made me go, ah. Then we need to look at how are we attached to our stories and how can we unhook ourselves from the story. Now, I'm not saying yet, because you know me, I have to baby step myself away from things. I'm not saying I have to throw the story away. I'm not saying I have to throw the story away yet. Just unhook myself enough so I can pull back and I can entertain the idea of maybe the 180-degree opposite story from the one I've been telling. So
can you?
I really could.
Well, that. Go ahead.
Yeah, because we have to figure out a way we can. I mean, it might be good advice for us to ask other people around us, but the problem is then we just don't believe them, even though they see us more clearly because they're not attached to our stories. How can we ease that attachment to our stories? And, you know, I mean, part of the things, and I'm still working on this because this was just, you know, this week. One of the things is, you know, if the relationship's not working, but I'm tightly tied to the story, it's got to be this person, this face, this name, this body. I've got to be able to entertain the idea, maybe it's a different man altogether.
When
so
a person
my story,
says that to us, we have to stand in the contrast truly. And, you know, you and I laugh about how horrible I am in contrast, especially when little children are involved. But, you know, and so to me, everybody's a small child.
Because we all are.
We have to look them in the eye and say, Einstein said, if you repeat the same pattern, you're going to go, you know, you are crazy. You're insane to think you're going to get another.
Insanity.
A different
result.
And so it can't be with that person. It can't be with that experience because you've already walked it. It's not working. When are you going to hear yourself? Now, the difficulty is you can make that choice to leave that person. You can make your choice to make another life. But have you looked at the very pieces about you that didn't work in that relationship, and have you, unto yourself, quietly continued on walking the same way, even though you're walking with other people?
Right.
And this is what we're talking about, stories. Stories we've written about ourselves that have nothing to do with the players, but because we haven't looked at how come I vibrationally hooked up with that person. What was it in me vibrationally that harmonized and drew to me that experience that I repeated to myself over and over again?
Right.
And this is where honesty has to come in. And this is where we have to get really good at wearing egg on our face. We've got to look at when we decided to pick up certain types of action steps on our part, certain kinds of thought processes that allowed us to go off and create a story about the reality of what our choices were bringing to us. Because we've got to separate ourselves from being the victim. And the problem is this planet here supports the victim role. It does not support that you are a God being.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so even as you're walking forward, trying to make new changes, trying to learn how to stand up for yourself, how do we now incorporate this concept, but I'm the God being? How do we switch that I'm the God being and this is my value, so this is the walk I'm taking, even though the rest of the world is saying, but this, like with our beloved friend, she's got to walk the walk of what it really feels like to be in a very sick body. in such a sick body that she could leave the planet. She really has to walk that. And she hasn't been there. She hasn't.
Sure.
So we've got to walk this story, let the story go in our heart, and yet allow the universe to bring to us the contrast of people coming in and interacting with us in that sickness with our this person in, you know, in mind as I'm telling my story, so that she can now see a very clear division between how she wants to walk and the stories that she had that allowed her body to come to that place of deterioration.
Right.
Because universally, you know, every cell in our body is replaced every 7 months.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So there's no reason that illness needs to be repeated. Unless, of course, we have a thought process that hasn't been looked at, and that thought process dominates how we feel, even though we say we're learning how to put ourselves first and foremost.
Right.
Are you starting to understand where I'm coming from? Or is it being expressed in a way that can be understood?
No, I think that's very clear. I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I try to be clear because, you know, when you teach something and you are learning it and everybody that you talk to is coming from a level of understanding. And so I want to be able to speak in a way that somebody that hasn't worked with me can still understand where I'm coming from.
Right. It gets tricky because you as the teacher aren't always clear where the gaps are. You've said it. You've been talking it for so long.
Yeah.
So, you know, any of you listening, please, I forgot to do this. I've got to get back my rhythm and let people know. If you're on the call with us, you can press 1. It will raise your hand, and we would be able to bring you into the conversation. And if you're on the web, we have the chat window open, and you can ask questions and leave comments there, too. So if something isn't clear or if you'd like something restated, certainly feel free to do that. But it is so literally true that we are dragging in the old, you know, like you said, all our cells regenerate themselves. So quit dragging that broken piece along with you and recreating that broken part,
and that ill part. And I know that the other piece is, you know, everybody says, so how do I find that piece in me? How do I find that hidden piece in me? Well, for one thing, you have to take the accountability that there is one. Because as soon as you accept the fact that there is a piece of you that's hidden, even from yourself, because you can see in your interactions, if you are having physical experiences that you are not coming on top each and every time, guess what? You have a hidden agenda there. You may not want to claim it, but it's there. That's why you have to do the repeat pattern.
Sure.
Almost means you have a hidden agenda. Getting 92% of what your need is still means you have that undercurrent that is the thought process of old. So you've got to look at, how did you interact with people when you were little? When did you stop interacting from that open God being of a child into a person who started keeping secrets? Because the first time that you didn't look with all honesty to another God being and say, I can't do this because of this. This is the real reason that I did this. If you are not there, you've got to find where you're lying to yourself. And you know, I have said that to the class members, and it shocked the heck out of people when I would say to them, you're lying.
Sure.
And, you know, because we don't want to hear that we're liars. But guess what? We are lying to ourselves. We're lying to ourselves that it's okay to come in second best. It's okay to come in what the world calls as a compromise. There is no such thing. not in spirituality. Yeah. And you don't have to give up a darn thing. If you are sitting in balance with what your need is, the universe is going to match it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. No one's going to get hurt. If you're not coming in at 100%, you are somewhere feeling less than. Find out where. Because it's that current, that peace, that's preventing you from creating your creations every single time. That's the simplicity of it. We've told ourselves lots of stories. Those are those transparencies.
Yep.
That we put over, because that very first time that we let ourselves down, we couldn't look at it.
Right.
We didn't have a guardian that walked us through the truth. And I'm telling you, we had them. But some way, somehow, we pushed them away from us. We didn't want to hear the truth. We didn't want to deal with that feeling of ick that we had in ourselves because we put ourselves in danger. Because our body told us, no, go, turn, run. Say, no, I cannot do this. No, I won't do this.
Right.
And we've got to get away from that concept of petty. Why is it petty to say, no, I don't want to share that with you? And yet, how many of us, even knowing that we have every right to our needs, will give away our needs? The slightest hesitation, without any kind of communication with self, any questioning, to find out what the undercurrent is. Why are we giving
right.
away something that we need? So let's start looking
right.
at what does a need, what is a need? How tiny can needs become? How broad can a need be? Can it be a plastic object that has a very wonderful significance to you? Can you stand up and say, why did you break that? Why would you touch that? Or do we tell ourselves, well, it was just this little tiny thing, so it's not
a little trinket. Right.
Yeah. How many times do we say, ah, that's not a big deal? Okay.
Lots.
How many times are you walking over that line in the sand that you put and said, I won't walk past this line anymore? How many times do we brush that little line up and go, oh, no, this is too petty.
That's not where I want to
I can
the
walk
line.
Over
right.
the line this time.
right. And then we wonder why we're so exhausted and why we feel so stressed and why, you know.
Oh, exactly.
Why things are so off.
Yes.
And yet,
that's it.
What do you say to people who feel like they would be overwhelmed if they called themselves on every little ripple, every little... Those
I
things
would ask,
that we, you know, go ahead.
Well, I think one of the things that we haven't talked about, and I need to put in right here, is because we're putting faces and people on every scenario instead of looking at the issue instead.
Ew.
If we looked at the issue itself and not at, it is my daughter. No, look at it as what is the issue that's at hand and how do you deal with the issue? That's why it's so easy for us to look at someone else's patterns and go, well, you could do this, this, or this, because they're looking at the issue. Now, they can have empathy and go, I know I would have difficulty doing it with my child, but I realize this is the most important thing, not only for my lesson, but for their lesson.
Right. Good advice, because it is amazing how the face plays into our story and stops us from making the choice that if it wasn't that face, we'd have no problem telling this person what for.
Exactly. That's it in a nutshell.
Wow.
So if you can put it to the issue when you start your questioning, the same for your stories. Go back to simply the issue, not the emotion that you put on it, not that you're the victim in that, stick to the issue. The minute you put the issue on the table, you no longer have the emotions that support one side or the other. You can look at it clearly. You can decide, is it your need or not your need? It comes very easy then to make choices for ourselves and only ourselves. If you're having any kind of emotion about it, know you've got off the issue itself and you've added other aspects. It's those aspects that you've got to tear down. You've got to ask the questions on those things so you can get yourself back in the neutrality of the issue at hand.
Yeah, this is... You know, I was just talking this morning with somebody who was talking about how we want to, I mean, how so many people in the world play in the drama, not in the truth.
Yeah.
And they actually can feel a sense of exhilaration from the emotion. So as you're talking about...
what they are is an adrenaline junkie.
Aha, yes.
They are a junkie. They are adrenaline.
They're confusing that. Sure.
Yes. And they pump adrenaline directly into the heart when the heart stops beating.
That's true.
So
but we don't want a steady flow of that all the time.
Every time they go into that kind of a high emotion, all they're doing is pumping adrenaline into the brain. And it's self-induced. They're drug addicts. They got to look at that.
It's nothing like the genuine joy that comes from standing in the truth.
Right. The endorphins that flood your body bring you such peace, bring you such knowledge, brings you such a place of, I want to go forward now and create. I want to touch. I want to smell. I want to see. If you're going to be a junkie, be a junkie on your endorphins.
Yes. And the reason I brought it up was just because I know sometimes I remember years ago when you were talking about just look at the issue, just get to that neutral place. And that struck me as so cold. It struck me as, does this mean I have to be a person who has no feelings? You know, and I'm talking way years ago. I'm talking 20 years ago.
I know. I remember.
And I learned, yes. But, you know, it kind of touches on that whole, well, I want to be enlightened, but if I'm enlightened, will there be any point to the game? I mean, all this. So it's sort of that same, well, I want to be in the truth, but you mean everything, it just sounds so clinical. Is that really how we want to live? Although
I know, but you know what I found? Because I had the same questions. I said, you know, when I started teaching how to get rid of those thoughts in your head, the 400 to 600, and you're only dealing with the thoughts that are prevalent to you, your brain, your mind is uncluttered. But there's so much that you can put in that when you look and you start interacting with people in joy. And every interaction that you have, whether it's sad or not, it's still coming through that joy aspect, and you're touched. You're so touched by the people around you, total strangers sometimes, and the kindnesses that are out there each and every moment of each and every day.
Right.
It's a really big wow, and it's not pumping adrenaline into your heart. I see we have, on my side, I have 43 seconds.
Yeah, me too. And that is wonderful. That is a wonderful note to end on. I'm so glad you went there, because that's just what I think we all need to understand and really embrace and get enthused about this. So thank you so much, Del Rey. Again, I want to reiterate that people can go over to your blog at goldenwordsofself.com, leave comments, ask questions, and also join us and play with us over at facebook.com/Life Learning Center of Self. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
I'll talk to you later. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.